there was a healing revival in the U.S. Many great healing evangelists came out of that healing revival. Or our robots and many others. I mentioned him because many of you will know him or you'd have heard of him. You know, but there are several other people in the 1940s. Kenneth Hagin was there, and they will have meetings, regular meetings among themselves. They call themselves the Voice of Healing. So they will have meetings where they will talk, you know, and exchange testimonies, things God is doing and all of that, you know, and that also helped them to learn from one another. So you learn that, oh, this person, and you start discovering how the gifts of the Spirit also work. You know, so some people get a lot of results with cancer when they pray. Somebody gets a lot of results with deaf people. You know, that's why 1 Corinthians 12 calls it the gifts of healings, meaning there are many different gifts of healings. Even though all of us even can lay hands by faith, according to Mark 16, but when it's the gifts of healings, some people seem to operate in certain things more than others. Hallelujah. But again then, where I'm going is that again then will tell them, he said he will tell them then that you see, all of you are building on the gifts of the Spirit. He said, but I'm building on the Word. He said, so when you are all long gone, I will still be here. You know, what was he saying? He was saying, thank God for the gifts of the Spirit. Thank God for all of that. We love it. He said, but build on the Word. Build on the Word. Build on the Word. Make the Word your number one. He says, so otherwise, the way you all operate, when you are long gone, I will still be here. All of them died long before Hagin did. Maybe except our robots. You know, but so many of them, maybe except our robots, T.L. Osborne. But all the A.A. Allens, William Brahams, and all of that, they were all gone because they were building on the gifts. Hallelujah. Among other things. Amen. Amen. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. So fall in love with God's word. That's what I'm saying. And do your utmost best to ingest as much of it as you can. Okay? Jesus called it food. So eat it the way you eat food. Job also called it and compared it to food. And Job said, I have esteemed the word of God more than my necessary food. He said, food is necessary, but I have made the word of God even more necessary than the necessary food. That's what Job said. I think Job 23. Okay, so that's the way we should, that's our attitude to God's word, should be that I need more and more and more and more and more. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for this time in your word. Thank you because you speak to us. You open our eyes to see the wondrous things in your word. You direct even me to speak as your oracle and ministers of a power that only you can supply. And thank you because your hand is upon everybody to hear, even as we're supposed to hear, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So Philippians chapter 2, I read from verse 5 to verse 9. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So please note that, you know, I have some color codes in my Bible. Thank God also for electronic Bibles, so I can easily change the color code anytime I want. But I have color codes. Green is a command. So verse 5 is green in my Bible. Let this mind be in you, meaning do it. This is a command to you. You can do it. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of a cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. I simply titled this Pitiful or Powerful. Pitiful or Powerful. It's just a little thought that I'd scribbled down a long time ago, but I never got to speak about it, and somehow I felt that I should just go along that line tonight. Pitiful or powerful. Can I hear you say pitiful or powerful? So the text we're looking at, most times would use it to speak about humility. You know, many preachers and teachers will speak about humility, and that is correct. But what I'm looking at tonight is that Jesus was not pitiful at any point in his life. Despite the fact that he humbled himself, like the Bible says here, and became obedient even to the point of death. So all the while, even where he was being punished, where he went through hard times, in fact, coming down and reducing himself to our level as a man was enough punishment. And going through all of that, to the point where human beings could kill him, was a lot of humility, quite all right. But my point is that at no point, despite what he went through, at no point was he pitiful. At no point was he, you know, the kind of person that you would look at and he was, you know, looking down and everybody would pity him for what he was going through. He was upbeat at all times. I took this out. Really, the thought came, I was listening to Joyce Meyer, and she said something that God told her, and that's where that came out from. So God told her that you can be pitiful or you can be powerful, but you can't be both. You can be pitiful or you can be powerful, but you can't be both. Once you choose to be pitiful, you know the people that are, have you met people who are always complaining? Anybody? You ever met anybody who's always complaining about life? How difficult things are? Have you noticed that that tone has not changed? Huh? Yeah, 1 month, 2 months, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. Have you noticed that they have not changed? When you still see them, they are still going through. Are you there? Somebody once said, when you are going through something, don't stop. You're only going through. Are we? Just don't stop. It's going to be over. Are you with me? But somebody who keeps carrying it and they keep looking like the weight of the world is on their shoulder. It's only them that have all the troubles, you know. And some people will describe it and describe it. You know, in fact, you know, sometimes I do a bit of counseling, all kinds of people. And sometimes the most difficult one is marriage counseling. You know, when somebody comes and talks to you about marriage, it takes a lot of time. But one of the things I've found is that human beings don't have new stories to tell. Are you with me? Human beings don't have new stories to tell. It's the same thing. What they are going through is the same thing that one too went through. So this idea of your case is special. It's not special. It's not special. Are you with me? People have gone through it. They have survived it. So what is all this one you are going and telling us? You don't understand. What don't we understand? Are you with me? And people have survived it. More people will still go through it and they will still survive it. They will overcome it. You can be pitiful or you can be powerful, but you can't be both. Jesus went through everything, but the Bible says he humbled himself, meaning that he cooperated and just flowed through. Therefore, he became exceedingly powerful. Are you still there? He became exceedingly powerful. God could entrust even much more to him than before because he went through what he went through without being pitiful. I said it before, Kennedy again will say that whenever you start feeling sorry for yourself, know that the devil is working on you. Are you still there? Anytime you sit down, you are regretting, you are feeling sorry for yourself. I don't even understand. What kind of life am I living? What kind of life is this? Why was I born here? Why was Kinikon, my friend? The devil is sitting right beside you. And if you are going to come out victorious and win, you need to get rid of that thought. Are you still there? I said, are you with me? Now, the idea is this, is that when you are saved, it doesn't mean you won't go through issues. You will go through issues. But what we are saying is that there is a way you can go through things, but nobody knows, nobody can even tell, except maybe they are very close to you. But they probably won't even know that anything was happening to you. If they even heard, they would not believe it, that anything was happening to you. You know, one of the things that I had made up my mind long ago to do was to act like God's word is true. Act like it's true. So when I don't know what to do, I know to trust in God. I will look up to the hills from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord who makes heaven or who made heaven and the earth. Abi, behold, he that keeps Israel does not sleep. He that keeps you does not sleep nor slumber. Abi? Uh-huh. So I know that, well, you know what that means? It means that God is working 24/7 on my behalf. He says, he that keeps you means he that is in charge of your life does not sleep nor slumber. You know, we have guards in our place, and so in the night at 4 a.m. they had left the generator on. Somebody asked for a generator, they put it on, and the guard slept off, forgot to switch it off. So I got up around 4. I saw the, you know, WhatsApp messages in the estate and all that, so I decided to go out. So I went out and I went to the guard house. Until I opened the door, I shouted. They were sleeping and snoring. Are you there? So I said, wow, amazing. The guards, amazing. The guards, they are guarding us. Amen. Hallelujah. But the Bible says, behold, he that keeps you does not sleep nor slumber. Slumber means it doesn't even, I don't know, in Yoruba we call it togbe. How do you say that one? Slumber. Eh? It's slumber, which is just to... Have you slumbered on the steering before? That's the only slumber, you know. I've slumbered on the steering before on my way to Igbora. And we had an outside posting, and we're going back from Ibadan to the place. And I had a car, so other students who had gone for the weekend in Ibadan said, can I follow you? Sure, Monday morning. So they followed. And we're going, so between Abeokuta and Igbora is one free road, very little traffic. This was very early in the morning because we have to resume there by 8, so we had left early and all of that. And of course, me, normally I would have been awake at 3 or 4, you know. And then by the time we went to Abeokuta and all, and we got to this road, they all just slept. Everybody, in front, at the back, everybody just slept. So I also just slept. Okay, no, I did not sleep. I slumbered, you know. By the time I woke up, we were almost entering the bush. So I just swapped right back, and I did everything I could, you know, tapping, listening to music, singing, dancing, till we got to Igbora. And, oh, thank you very much. I said, you better thank God. You're thanking me. You better thank God. All of you that woke up in heaven. Are you there? So that's short sleep. The Bible says that God doesn't sleep nor slumber. Meaning not for a moment will he be caught by surprise about you. Are you hearing me? There's no split second where the devil can slip in into your life and cause damage that God will not know. Are you still there? Okay, so let's look at a few examples. I try to ensure that I finish 7:30 on Thursdays, amen? And then we can wrap up. Are you still here? Okay, let's look at the Israelites. Let's look at the Israelites, Numbers 13. Numbers 13. So remember where we're starting from, that if you'll be victorious, powerful, experience God's power in your life, you can't afford to live pitifully. Jesus died, but you know what he said in John chapter 10? He said, I lay down my life and I take it up again. That doesn't sound like somebody who is sad about anything he's going through. You understand? It's difficult. It's tough. In fact, at a point he was praying, the Bible says the sweat was like blood. But yet, he says, I take my life and I lay it down and I take it up again. So it didn't sound like this guy was sad. Never ever. In fact, I think it's what you call a paradox. That when you say there is a sad Christian, I think those two words should not be together. Ever. Are you with me? Am I saying that there will be no challenges? No, even our text says that Jesus faced challenges. But what we are saying is that even in the midst of what you go through, in fact, when you don't know what to do, it's probably your best moment. when you are at your wit's end, it's probably your best moment, because in most cases we get in God's way. You know, we say we trust God with something, but we keep trying to fix the same thing. I'm not saying all the time, but many times we say we trust God, but we keep trying to fix it ourselves. We use our brain, we try to, I'm not saying your brain should be dead, no. But we don't even turn to God because we're trying to solve it. And very often when it's something that you cannot fix, it turns out to be a great situation, because then God can show you and manifest himself. Remember what Paul wrote to the Corinthians? He said, look, I sought the Lord three times about this affliction or this thing I was going through. He said, and the Lord said, no, he will not save me from it. He said, for my strength is made what? Perfect in weakness. My strength is made perfect in weakness. So when you have reached your wit's end, then you will experience the best of God. Hallelujah. Okay, so let's see these examples of pitiful people. Numbers 13, God had given the children of Israel a promise. You are going to get the promised land. Great things, I mean, beautiful place full of milk and honey and all of that. And then they sent spies to go and look at it. And the spies came back. So we'll do a bit of reading. Because when we're reading these things, I want you to just, I'm using it to explain what being pitiful is like. Okay? And as you look at it, every time you read the Bible, ask yourself, how does this apply to me? So when you're reading it, you don't have a promised land in that sense, physically, but you have a promised sense figuratively. And then you have to ask yourself, do I ever sound like this? You understand? So do I ever sound like this? Because if I do, then I'm being pitiful. Every time I sound like this, I am being pitiful. And it's going to stop me from experiencing the power of God. Amen. Okay, so the spies went, and they came back. So verse 26 tells us they came back, and they began to give a report. So verse 27, then they told him, they were telling Moses and Aaron, then they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. So they brought a sample. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. Nevertheless. You know, nevertheless, another short word for that is what? But. Okay, but. You know, every time you say something great, and then you say, but, you know, I know that God has made for a way for me, but, huh? Are you there? Somebody said, get your butt out of the way. You know, but what am I saying? Every time you know, we try to color it. So you say all the right things, but you can't resist. Then you say, but, I'm still wondering, sha. There's a problem. Are you there? So, but the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able. So Caleb said, keep quiet. You know, let's go up at once. We are well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up, so these guys continued. They are grumbling. They said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land. I like the old King James. The old King James called it an evil report. Any report that causes fear, unbelief, is an evil report. Anxiety is an evil report. There is nothing else you can say about it. So I've seen books, Christian books, that are full of evil reports. Are you with me? Somebody say, how can you say that? Yeah. Books that people have read and they couldn't sleep at night. They became afraid of Ojuju. Christian book. It's evil report. Are you with me? Because there's no way we can't talk about the devil or teach people about demons. Yeah, you can. But there's a way you can teach it, and you should teach it, that should leave them with confidence. He shouldn't leave them with fear. If he led them with fear, it was an evil report or evil message. Are you there? You know, years ago, I went to a church. And I couldn't believe it. It was outside this country. I couldn't believe it. The preacher started off. Say, hell will be full. It was in Yoruba. Hell will be full. This was a message on Sunday morning. Many of you, if you are not careful, self, you are going. I'm telling you, that was a message on Sunday morning. Hell will be full. Many of you that, the way I'm looking at you, you will not make it. So I thought, what am I doing here? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Hey, that's not good news. That's not the gospel. The gospel is that I was going to hell, but I've been rescued to go the right way. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That is the good news. Are you still there? Now, please notice. It says, there we saw giants, the last verse. The descendants of Anak came from giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. Please notice that their only positivity was just one line. Did you notice that in what we read? That they started off and said, the land is good as God said. But after that, they went on and on and on and on about everything that is wrong. So how many times do you do that? You say, I trust God, but then the next 5 minutes is the but you are telling us. But use the I trust God to do Christianese for us. Huh? Just keep smiling. Nobody will know it's you. Are you there? That's been pitiful. Can I have an amen? I said it's been pitiful. Go to John chapter 5. When you stay there and you tell us, I trust God, but... And then you go on and on and on. Can you see the details? They had exceedingly great details about the but. Huh? They provided extreme details about why they could not make it. And then they even went into exaggeration. Abi, did you notice exaggeration there? They said we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so were we in their own sight. Did you talk to them? You were spies. You were hiding. You didn't see them. Then you said we were like grasshoppers in their own sight. You entered their own eye. Let somebody say, I won't be pitiful. John chapter 5, again to save time. This was a man who had been sitting by this pool, mysterious, fantastic. Suddenly, this pool gets stirred up by an angel. When there's a stirring of the pool, whoever enters the pool first gets healed. Just miraculously. And then Jesus comes to where the pool is, and the Bible says that in verse 5, now a certain man was there who had infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, do you want to be made well? The sick man answered him, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm coming, another steps down before me. That's what you call what? F9. Parallel. F9. What's the question? What's the answer? Did you see that? The answer does not go with the question at all. How many people can you see saw that in what the man said? What did they ask him? Do you want to be made whole? He said, I have no man to help me. They have not said whether you need a man to help you now. They just said, do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be? If he had even answered Jesus, I said, so what do you think I'm doing here? He said, oh God, what kind of question is that? Why would I be sitting here since? Is it not to be made whole that I will come and sit beside this pool? How can you be asking me that? That would have been a better answer. Maybe you'll get C5. Are you there? But when he said, will you be made whole? And he said, I have no man. Now, guess what? Being pitiful like that, because again, how many times do you say to yourself, I don't have anybody to help me. Are you with me? I don't have reconnection. I don't know anybody. In fact, all the people I know don't want to help me. Every time you talk like that, you are being what? Pitiful. And being pitiful was going to make this man miss a miracle. So you can't be pitiful and powerful at the same time. Because the answer that he needed was standing in front of him. And he was busy moaning about not having a man. Thank God Jesus was merciful. Can I have an amen? And just said, rise up, take your bed, and walk. Because we are no longer waiting for the stirring of the pool. I am the one who created the stirring of the pool. So you don't need to wait on the queue for that one. The miracle worker is here. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Well, I think a lot of time is gone. I was going to talk about the disciples and the boys' lunch. Just the next chapter, John chapter 6. So I just say it. We won't read it. The feeding of the 5,000 as we know it. So Jesus says, get some food, you know, so that we can feed these people. They said, there's nowhere to get food to buy. Okay? Now, if they said, where will we get food to buy? It means they had money to buy the food. They had money to buy the bread. Are you with me? So was Jesus poor? Absolutely not. They had money to buy bread for 5,000 people spontaneously. So what they were asking him was not the money. They were asking, where will we find bread to buy for all these people in the desert, in the middle of nowhere? So the money was there, but it's the bread. Which bakery will supply the bread here? Where? Even if they want to turn, 100 naira bread to 150, which bakery will supply 5,000 at least? So they didn't have it. But then he said, what do you have? And then they said, we have this boy's lunch, 2 loaves, 5 fishes. But this is what I was going to about being pitiful. The moment Peter and the disciples said that, they said, but what are these among so many? So the same thing, the same provision that exists, they are the ones again using the amount to pull it down. We have 2 loaves and 5 fishes, but what is this among so many? Every time you talk little of what God has given you, you are being pitiful. Are you hearing me? There are many people God has blessed you, but you still look down at what you have. You look down at what you have. You look down at, I meet people like that all the time. I meet spouses who look down at their spouse and I laugh. I say, you haven't seen a very bad spouse. If you see a bad spouse, you will know. You will thank God for who God gave you. Are you there? If you see people who look at it and say, my salary is so small. Are you serious? Have you seen salaries? And then there is no salary. Do you know that there are people in this country today who have not received salary in 1 year? Maybe the salary is 250 or 300,000. You are thinking, if I was collecting 250, but they are not giving him in 1 year. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So whatever you have, it's 20,000, it's 5,000, whatever you have, don't say, what is this among so many? You are being pitiful. Thank God for what you have, because it's what you have. When you are grateful for it, then it has the potential to multiply. Are you with me? You know, you need to just tell God, multiply these things that you have given me. Multiply what you have given me. Sometimes I've had to say to people that for our size of church and all of that, the things we have done, the money we have spent is only multiplication. It's a miracle of multiplication. And it's because never for one day do I look down on what God is doing here or in a bad or anything. I thank God for it. Are you hearing me? You know, offering is, I've never looked at it. It has never bothered me. Are you hearing me? Say, how much is it? In fact, I've met pastors who talk that way. 5, you know our offering. You know how much our offering is. It's just terrible. It will continue to be. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But when you thank God for whatever God has placed in your hands, God has a way of multiplying it. You know, you can receive money. I mean, one day, for instance, I was looking at it and I realized that God saves us money in many ways. If you got your money and somehow you were not paying hospital bill, you were not buying drug, your car didn't get spoiled unnecessarily. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Somebody else might have received more money than you, but spent everything in 2 days because of the things that happened. Are you there? So what has God done that way? He has multiplied your money. Because now your money went farther than it not ordinarily would have done. You had it, it could do a lot more things. You could face other things because God preserved certain things from happening, or suddenly somebody decided that the shoe that you were thinking you would buy that month, somebody gave you a shoe. So you didn't buy a shoe anymore. It became savings. Hallelujah. Look at somebody and say, are you pitiful or powerful? Okay, the last one I would have given you as an example, and then I'll quickly run through how to be powerful. The last one I would have told you was Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19. And there Elijah was running from Jezebel. He had just had that Mount Carmel encounter with the prophets of Baal. And then Jezebel sent him a message and said, hey, you killed all the prophets of Baal, Abi. God, you know, God punish me. If your head remains on your neck, by the end of, is it tomorrow, today or tomorrow, the man took off running. He disappeared. Phew! Then when he disappeared into the wilderness, he then sat down and began to moan. God came. He had an encounter with God, and he began to moan. He said, God, I've been zealous for you. After all this serving, I've been serving you. Is this the way I should be rewarded? He said, and in fact, I'm the only one left. Then God said, you know what? You are not the only one. I've kept 7,000 people who have not bowed to Baal either. And he said, you know what you will do now? Go and anoint somebody to be king of Israel. Anoint Elisha to become prophet in your own place. It means your ministry has ended. You are pitiful. So you can't be powerful. Your sojourn has ended. Anoint your replacement. Are you there? What did he say? I said, identify it yourself. What did he say? He said, look, I've been doing everything. After the way I've been serving you, I'm even the only one left. Every time you think you are the only one, you are the only special one. Why is this happening to me? Despite what I've been doing. And God knows that my friend, when you start putting yourself in that exclusive club and you are addressing God saying, why is this happening to me after all what I do for you? You're in trouble. You're being pitiful. Amen. Hallelujah. So how would you be powerful? Number one, don't forget your identity. And don't forget who is backing you. That's part of your identity. Your identity is that you are a child of God, you are a servant of God, or a child and a servant of God. Are you hear what I'm saying? Don't forget that identity. Okay? 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Don't forget who you are. Don't forget what you have. Hallelujah. Because of who you are, there are things that are yours. Okay? If you understand your identity in Christ, don't ever forget it. Don't take it for granted. Take your time to study the Word. That's one of the reasons why we study the Word, is that it helps us to know who we are in Christ Jesus and what our inheritance is. That's why the book of James calls the Word of God a mirror. A mirror shows you who you are, what you look like. The mascara is not standing straight. The eyeliner has twisted somehow. You get what I'm talking about? The lipstick is too bright. The mirror shows you, and then you reduce, you increase, you straighten it. Are you hear what I'm saying? And you can see yourself. So when you look in God's mirror, you see yourself for who you are in Christ. Hallelujah. And So 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 6, one of the things therefore Paul was telling him is what? He says, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of love and of a sound mind. So what was he saying? You need to know who you are and what you have. That's what he was telling Timothy. And stir that up. Stir yourself up. Stir yourself up, remembering that God didn't give you a spirit of fear. Hallelujah. So when you start sitting there and you're being pitiful, he said, no. Stir yourself up. Remind yourself, I'm a child of God. I don't have a spirit of fear. I have a spirit of power. I have a spirit of mind. I have a sound mind. Hallelujah. And you need to know, you need to know what works for you. 1 Samuel 30, you can write that down. 1 Samuel 30, David had just suffered a loss. They had kidnapped all their, families, he and his men. They had gone to battle. By the time they came back, kidnappers had come, raided their village and taken everybody away. And they all were crying. And they even wanted to stone David as the leader. But then 1 Samuel 30 verse 6 says, David encouraged himself in the Lord. In the Lord. What did he do? He had to figure out in God. He had to find his encouragement in God. Finding out, God is for me. And then he asked God, he said, shall we pursue? Will we overtake? Will we recover all? He had to find his identity and his strength in God. So you need to know how to do that. You need to know how to stir yourself up. How to encourage yourself. Can I have an amen? You need to know what works for you. So one of the things I like to do periodically is I watch teachings, I watch ministrations, because it stirs me up. You need to know what works for you. Oh, what works for me is I need to listen. Oh, I need to go prayer meeting. I need to go fasting for a period of time. You need to know what works for you and work it. Stir yourself up. Hallelujah. Number two, choose who or what you listen to. Choose who or what you listen to. What you listen to will always determine your state of mind. It will always determine your state of mind. Numbers 13 that we read earlier, I think by the time you reach chapter 14, when those people gave that evil report, the land is good, but there are giants in the land, blah, blah, blah. When they gave that evil report, the Bible says all the men lifted up their voices and wept. When you see Gendes, adults, Bale is father of the house. You know the way we see it in the movie? It's the women you see. And then she jumped up, for the floor. Now, when you see men do that, there's a serious problem. Are you with me? But that's what the Bible said happened there. In Numbers 13, 14, that's what happened. The people wept, the men, bitterly. Why did they weep? People spoke words to them. Choose who or what you listen to carefully. So the Bible says, guard your heart, Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. Everybody is affected by what they see or what they hear. Are you hearing me? So you need to be very choosy about that. The Bible says, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he reap. If you sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. If you sow to the spirit, you reap life. Galatians 6:7. Proverbs 14:7 talks about the fact that you turn from a fool when you do not perceive from him the lips of knowledge. You turn from a fool if what is coming out is not good. So, excuse me, I need to go do something else. You go away. Remember 1 Samuel chapter 17? David came there. Goliath was challenging everybody. He was asking, what will they do to the man who defeats this Goliath? And he told him, the king will give him his daughter to marry. Their family will be exempt from taxes. David said, that is good, though. He had somebody say, yes, you marry the king's daughter, you won't pay tax again. Say, wow. Then he turned his brother and said, what nonsense? What are you doing here? You came here to play and blah, blah, blah. And you know what the Bible says in 1 Samuel 17? The Bible says, he told him, he said, that's not why I came, blah, blah. And he turned from him. Eliab, his brother. He turned from Eliab, went in another direction. That this one is spewing discouragement. Are you there? There are friends that need to be at a distance. Because every time you talk to them, you are left in despair. You know what I'm talking about? You are left in despair. Some people are very fantastic at describing the problems of Nigeria as if you didn't know. Abi? You know, in fact, sometimes it's very interesting to me. Sometimes on, well, they say WhatsApp is not social media, you know, but on social media and on WhatsApp, I ask myself, is this man a newscaster? Some people will keep posting breaking news. 4 people kidnapped. Breaking news. 20 people killed. I say, when I want news, I go to news channel. Why are you interested in broadcasting news? When did you become a reporter? And it's not even something they reported directly themselves. It's the same news that I've seen on the newspaper. But why do you feel that the need for you to share it with me when it's not even good news? Why do you think you must share those kind of things? So there are some people that they like to, you know, propagate that. And when they are with you, your spirit is overwhelmed. You need to tell yourself that this kind of person is small dose that you can deal with. You can't deal with much of this person. Otherwise, you will despair of life. Are you there? And of course, number 3, you have to be full of praise. Full of praise and thanksgiving. Full of praise and thanksgiving. We know about Acts 16 when Paul and Silas were singing praises in the jailhouse. You know, we have to be full of praise and thanksgiving. Romans 4:20, the Bible says, Abraham, going through what he was going through, was strengthened in faith as he gave praise and glory to God. And let me put one bonus point there, which is that you need to be confident, aware, and confident of the will, or in the confident of in the will of God for your life. You need to be aware and confident in the will of God for your life. So the reason why Jesus was not pitiful was that he knew the will of God. Yeah, he was rough, he was going to be killed, but he knew that was the will of God, so he wasn't moved. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So you need to know what the will of God is for your life. That, yeah, I'm going through this thing, I know the will of God. Guess what? The will of God is that no matter what you go through, you come out on top. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So even knowing that one alone is awesome. Okay? Knowing that alone, that I know that the will of God is that the end of me is going to be good. The will of God is that I'm victorious always. So even when I'm facing something, I'm like, amazing. It will be interesting to see how God will turn this around, because he will turn it around, because that's the will of God. Amen. We're praying earlier, Ephesians chapter 1 verse 11. It says God works all things according to the counsel of his will, meaning he takes counsel from his will. Everything he does will be according to his will. And the number one source of the will of God is the word of God. Amen. Let's stand on our feet tonight. Did you get anything? You can be pitiful or powerful, or you can't be both. What's your choice tonight? So take a moment and just talk to God. If there are things you need to correct, did any of those things that we read, examples of people and peoples who were pitiful, did it look like you? Then you need to tell God, that the way those people sounded there sounds just like me. I'm not going to sound like that again. And all those things we said, how to act, what to do, in order to stay or be powerful or stay powerful, are you going to do them? Tell God, yeah, I'm going to do this now. I'm going to be full of praise. Father, we thank you for your word. We give you praise. Thank you because victory is certain for us. Thank you because indeed we choose to be powerful. We choose to stand upon your word. We choose to believe you. We choose to be upbeat about life because we have the backing of Almighty God, the Alpha and Omega. The one who declares the end from the beginning, saying, my counsel will stand and I will do all of my will. We are grateful. We give you praise. We give you glory. In Jesus' name.